If you don't recognize me or know who the heck I am, my name's Sadie, and it is my pleasure to be here with you tonight. We are kicking off a new sermon series going through some of the Psalms. So they're called the Psalms of Ascent, and it's actually really great that I forgot to make all my slides except the title slide because you can't really see the screen. So it's like I knew. But I just want to say one thing about the folks from Trinity who are willing to adopt you as a college student, is that when I was in college, my church did something similar to that. Park Street did it. And one of my best friends, like, twisted my arm into signing up because I was an intern at the Well, and he's like, you know, you really should do this because, like, you're supposed to be the one to do this kind of stuff. And I was like, fine, as long as you, like, give me a good assignment, like there was a bad one. And so I got placed with this awesome couple named Don and Jan Reinhart, who some of you may know, their legacy in Ashland. But I will say that Jan Reinhart had a huge impact on me marrying Josh. So I'm not saying that you're going to find your future spouse, but I'm also not saying that. So it's a potential right there. Revkev says you'll hook him up, or he'll hook you up. Okay, anyway, I hope that you had a great fall break. I had a really relaxing week last week, and then this week, I have been, like, firing on all cylinders. Last night, I did not sleep at all. I was up, like, 6 times in the middle of the night. I was feeling very fatigued and irritated today, and I was like, God, I have to, like, preach tonight, so could you, like, help me get it together? And he did. He helped me get it together. But if you are coming to the Well and you're like, yeah, okay, I'm really tired. I also haven't slept in like 14 days, not just one. That must be nice, Sadie. I just want you to know that like this is a place where you can come and you can rest and you can take a deep breath. Let's all do that together. Let's all take a deep breath. And settle in. And, like, become attentive to the Holy Spirit in this place. Like, I hope this isn't just a place for you to come to, like, check the box of I participated in campus ministry. But the Lord is moving and wants to speak to you tonight. And so I pray that our hearts are ready to receive that. Before fall break, we finished up a series called With. And it was all about us reimagining the way that we relate to God. He desires to be with us, and he's excited to be invited into every part of our lives. So tonight, we're beginning a new series. We're going to climb a mountain together. It's fun that Abby put a mountain on the stage. As we discover the richness and depth of the Psalms of Ascent. So this series is about our lives together as disciples of Christ in community with one another. And most of life is really ordinary. Like, it's the normal stuff of day to day. Some of us maybe are prone to, like, chase awesome experiences. But what I want to tell you is, like, some of life, most of life, is just this everyday, ordinary, beautiful gift from God. So it's not all mountaintop moments where we feel God like never before. It's not all church camp or all fall retreat or all whatever. We're going to spend the rest of the semester learning about the journey of discipleship that comes after we say yes to the invitation of Jesus to come and follow me. So we've been conditioned to believe that we deserve everything instantly. And honestly, we probably consider most things in life to be urgent. I cannot tell you how many times I get a follow-up email or text from someone just because I haven't like responded immediately. And I'm like, people, most of your requests are not urgent. No offense, I love all of you, but it's true. And so discipleship isn't quick. It's not like something you should figure out by the age of 35. It's going to take the rest of your life. So like, I don't want to lie to you. It's the rest of forever. So oftentimes we treat life sort of like a tourist treats vacation, where it's like we only want to see the high points. We only want to, like, run around like a crazy person to jam-pack every single thing into our schedule, do everything as quickly as possible, and then on to the next thing, right? But what if we considered our journey as a pilgrim instead of a tourist. As a disciple of Jesus, I spend my entire life apprenticed to my master. And as a pilgrim, I spend my life going somewhere, going to God on a journey. And my path for getting there is the way of Christ. So over the next 7 weeks, we're going to be journeying together with the ancient Hebrew people as we read Psalm 120 through 134. And these psalms were often sung as the people made their way up to Jerusalem for festivals of worship. Jerusalem was the highest city in Palestine. So the travelers spent a lot of time ascending. They were going up, literally and metaphorically. The trip to Jerusalem acted out a life lived upwards towards God, going up and up and up as we continue to mature in Christ. So 3 times per year, these Hebrew people go up to the city of Jerusalem. And these are the same people that we read about in the book of Exodus who, like, got delivered from slavery. He establishes these people as God's chosen people. That's these people. So the journey to Jerusalem served as a time of remembrance in 3 different ways. One, in the spring, they would celebrate the Passover, which is them remembering how God saved them. In the summer, they would celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, and they would remember the commitments as God's covenant people. They'd remember what they said yes to. And then the third one was in the fall. They celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles as they respond to God's great blessing to the community. So the Hebrew people molded their entire lives around the truths that they are redeemed, commanded, and blessed by God. I encourage you throughout this series to picture actual people on an actual journey. Maybe like that. It's very tan in the Middle East. This journey up a mountain to meet with God and community is one of the best ways for understanding our lives as a faith journey. Any other way of understanding discipleship is going to fall short. And if any of you have spent time in the Psalms before, you may have noticed that they portray the very broad spectrum of human emotion. I encourage you to spend some time in the Psalms throughout the rest of the semester. And together, we're going to be encouraged that this journey is worth the time that it takes. But it's also good to know that every other person on this journey has struggled a great deal. There's room for all of your emotions and all of your fears as you journey towards God. So going through these Psalms together will also require us to acknowledge that we are people of the in-between. I've talked about this tension before at the well. The already and the not yet. We're already saved through the cross of Christ, but we're not yet living in a heavenly place. So we feel this tension, we feel this pull on our lives, and we long for something more. But we're acutely aware that this world is bonkers. So for those of you who are ready to join me in being a pilgrim in the very ordinary life, these psalms are going to serve as kind of a cheery playlist for our travels and a practical guidebook and map and comfort when we're not cheery at all. So I want to jump into our first 2 psalms, Psalm 120 and Psalm 121. We're going to read them both. There are Bibles in the pews since the slides are not prepared for you. So if you want to flip to the psalms, we'll start in Psalm 120, or you can pull it up on your phone. The psalmist writes this. In my distress, I cry to the Lord, that he may answer me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe is me that I am an alien in Mesech, that I must live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And carrying on into Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time and forevermore. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the gift of your word, and especially for the gift of the Psalms. God, that we can find comfort in your presence, that we can find rest, that we can find that you are strong, and that you are loving, and that you are full of grace. God, I pray that as we journey together tonight and for the next several weeks, that you would reveal your character to us, that your spirit would move in our hearts, and that we would be encouraged that we're on this journey together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Okay, so the first step in this whole journey upward to meet God is repentance. The simplest definition of repentance that I've ever heard, surprisingly, came from my seminary professor, who heard it from a child, so maybe not as surprising. Repentance is being sorry enough to quit. Others might define it as turning around and going the other way. And Psalm 120 introduces us to someone who is fed up with the world as it is. It's the song of a person who's sick of the lies of the world. They can't stand it, and they desire to embrace the way of God, the way of peace. Each one of us has probably had experiences like this. You may be dissatisfied with the ways of the world if you're going to say yes to the invitation of Jesus. Otherwise, most people aren't like, yeah, I'll do that thing. If you like the ways of the world, the way of Jesus isn't exactly appealing to you because it's the complete opposite. So the psalm opens with, in my distress, and it ends with the word war. So it's not happy. It's not a happy start, but it's a necessary place to start. We must be rescued from the world that tells us that we should live our lives without Christ. The ways of worldly wisdom completely ignore the movement of the Holy Spirit, and the lies of the world will try to tell you who you are without telling you about the love of God. So our invitation out of Psalm 120 is to repent of our old ways and turn around and face the truth. The truth about me is that God made me and loves me. The truth about you is that God made you and he loves you. The truth about the world is that God rules over all things and he provides for every single need. The truth about what's wrong with the world is that we all have sinned and we refuse to let God be in control. The truth about what lies at the center of our lives is that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross for our sins and he was raised for our salvation. And we are now invited to participate in a new way of life because of that truth. The first step towards God is a step away from those lies. A step in the right direction, if you want to call it. And we don't have to live among strangers and foreigners anymore. Repentance in our lives is an action. It's not a feeling. It's not feeling bad. It's acting. It's a decision to turn around and walk towards Christ. So when Israel said no to the ways of the world around them, and yes to the one singular God named Yahweh, they weren't just miraculously transported back to Eden. God wasn't like, well, finally, here's that garden that you keep reading about. They continued to live life here on earth, and you guys know what it's like to live on earth. Kind of sucks sometimes. They were traveling somewhere. They were going to a new place. They were going to God. And so when we repent, we're all redirected onto that path towards God. And that path leads us to recognizing God's providence in our lives, which we see in Psalm 121. Have you ever been really happy to learn that you were wrong? Is that like an experience you've had in your life? So recently, I was trying to attach a computer screen to an arm that would hold this computer screen. And, like, this person was like, so, attach that thing. I gotta go. Here's the instructions. So I'm reading these instructions that, like, why does IKEA hate us is my question. So I'm looking at these pictures. I'm not reading anything. I'm looking at pictures. And I'm like, okay. So, like, some of the equipment that was supposed to be used in, like, steps 1 through 4 are still in this sealed package. So I'm not really sure what to do about that. Because someone had, like, half done it. I was like, feels like I have to redo this. And I'm just, like, sitting there staring at it. Basically, this, like, giant computer screen just needed mounted onto this arm. But the plate that I was supposed to mount it on was like this. And I was like, okay, well, certainly I'm not just supposed to, like, lay the computer screen on top and, like, peer over it. So I try to, like, move the thing up. And I'm like, okay, if this plate was going to move, it would have budged by now. So, like, it's made of metal. I can't really move it. I'm just feeling dumb. And then one of my friends comes over to me, and he's like, do you need help? And I was like, yeah, so, like, there's still things that were supposed to be used, so I think I need to start over. I was considering taking it apart, and he just goes, and I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, oh, wow. You know when you ask for help and, like, it just happens. So I was annoyed, but I was really happy that I was wrong because I would have wasted all of my time disassembling something that wasn't actually poorly assembled. It was just I needed to be a little stronger. But I was pretty excited to be wrong in that instant. And Psalm 121 is a lot like my friend just showing me that I was doing it all wrong. It's a quiet voice telling us that we're wrong in the way that we're going about our Christian life. Psalm 121 is for those of us who try to figure out life on our own and completely disregard God in that entire process. But Psalm 121 also promises that God is with you. The first few words of the psalm, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Those words are speaking against putting your faith in anything but the provision of God. It's a little bit like a travel advisory. Have you ever been traveling? There's a travel advisory. It's a little bit like concerning. I've gone to South Africa quite a few times, and there's always a travel advisory. Like every time, it's like level orange on this very arbitrary color scale. But there's a travel advisory because the crime rate is so high in some of the cities. So they're like, okay, Americans, don't just like count your money after you get it at the register because people are going to steal from you. You need to know. So it's something that I'm used to, but if you're a first-time traveler and you're going to a country that has a travel advisory, it's a little bit concerning. So during my time in South Africa, I've learned about all kinds of pagan and ancestry worship. It's like a thing that still goes on. You think you just read about it in the Old Testament, but we've all gotten better. It's not true. They still worship in similar ways to the Old Testament. So when the psalmist says, I lift my eyes to the hills, and he asks, where does my help come from? We can easily breeze past that in our 21st century brains. We're like, oh, what a beautiful, poetic question. But those pagan religions that I've encountered, they worship at the top of the mountain. They're worshiping these gods that are high up, or they're worshiping the stars, or whatever it may be. I've seen the temples accidentally when I'm like climbing mountains and having fun, and I'm like, oh God. They're like completely painted white, and they're like doing all this chanting. It's really actually super creepy. Would not recommend that. So the psalmist is speaking against that. When I need help, do I go to those other gods that are being worshipped on these mountains? No. My help comes from the Lord, who made the mountains, who made everything. So there's one pretty significant mistake that we can make on this journey of discipleship. And sometimes we're tempted to believe that God's interest in us waxes and wanes, depending on the season. That he's become bored, so he chooses to put his attention towards something else. That's just not true. But it's an easy thing to believe when we can't feel God in our lives. Because we're so used to the instant stuff that the long journey of discipleship is actually really hard for all of us. But God is interested in every single trouble that you face throughout your days. And that same faith that works for you in the really big times also works in the really, really small stuff too. So the same God who created order out of chaos in Genesis chapter 1 also is guarding you from evil every single day. And we can rest knowing that we are accompanied by God, that he goes before us and he hems us in from behind on our journey up that mountain towards his presence. So you've already learned this, but I have some Lutheran friends in the room tonight. Maybe you're one of them. I don't know. So I'd like to include a hymn from Mr. Martin Luther. Woot. It says this: "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him." As Christians, we believe that our entire life is shaped by God. That he's in the creation of our life, but he's also in the really small details that maybe you don't even notice of your life. And we were created to experience the love and the grace of God. So when we commit Psalm 121 to our hearts, we begin to experience faith as a solid, secure experience of God. Sometimes it can seem like all the evil in the world will inevitably get inside of you, get into our lives and rule our hearts. But if you think about a boat in the ocean, all the water of the ocean isn't sinking the boat unless it all gets inside of the boat. So it is with the evil of this world. It will only cause destruction in your life if it completely takes over your heart. And so our invitation tonight, in week one of the Psalms of Ascent, we're just on this first little step of the mountain, is to turn around from whatever you've been looking at that isn't God, and to begin your walk towards God, and to trust that he keeps all evil away. He keeps it from getting inside of us, and he guards our life against it. So the Christian life does not promise that you will have no troubles for the rest of your days. But what it does promise through Jesus is that you will not be overcome by that evil, because Jesus has overcome death and overcome this world. And you're invited to step into that journey tonight. Let's pray together. God, I pray that as we take that first step on the journey and that we repent and we say we're sorry enough to quit looking at other things besides you. God, that your grace and your love would flood into our hearts, that you would welcome us home with you, And that, Lord, through that repentance, we would begin to see the provision that you have given each one of us in our lives. That we would be able to notice the ways that you keep us safe, the ways that you are guarding us against the evil one. And Father, that we would take this journey seriously, that we wouldn't try to do it by ourselves, but we would do it in the midst of community. We're all travelers walking towards you, and I pray that this could be a place and this could be a people who are encouraging each other as we go. We love you, Lord, and we want to trust you more. Help us. Amen.